Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Bedford with, I guess, all our rowdy friends are here today. So, due to apparently popular demand, we're going to move some things around, which means
right now,
let's do some NFL overreaction or reality. You guys ready?
I think Mike is not, because he's currently trying to buy some Nathan Eovaldi autograph cards right
okay.
now. Did the interview make you like so excited that you're like, I got to get his cards now?
Look yes. at the smile on his face. It obviously did.
I've already looked at some.
Okay.
But it feels, I don't know, I would have been a Eovaldi fan no matter what. Let's just say he would have signed with the Braves or back to the Red Sox
or pitcher,
whatever.
Yeah.
You know, he'll live in history as the greatest Rangers postseason pitcher in the history of their franchise.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, you know, it could change
yeah.
over
Unless
time.
DeGrom throws perfect games. And the like.
It's a good point.
You
know,
but, yes.
Derek Holland can be second.
But
at the
now
moment,
to
yes.
know, most likely, as long as you don't trade him, he's going to be a Ranger now for 5 years of his career.
Yeah. Which is super
Like, it
cool.
really yeah. establishes him more as, like, a Ranger.
I
you
like
know?
That. Yeah, I love that a lot.
And so he now, liked our idea that what he asked for Christmas was 3 for $75.
And he did say, I mean, there were a lot of teams after him, dude. There were a
yeah,
lot of teams
yeah.
that wanted him, and we got him back. And then he had the amazing horse story. So that's wild, too.
Yeah, that was.
I did not expect
I'm glad that,
to that
story, I'm glad we asked about A&M, and it was sad, but then we got the horse story
yeah,
out of it. So
I love it.
That was nice. All right, NFL overreaction or reality. The Texans will find a way to not win the NFC South. All right, we've talked about how it's been disappointing for CJ Stroud this year. I know that that is not a good division, but could they possibly lose it out to Indianapolis and not win this division?
I don't think so.
Oh, really?
Maybe I'm wrong. They're 8-5 to 6-7.
Yep.
So you're looking at a win out situation for Anthony Richardson? I don't think. I think Houston has it.
And okay. they lost the tiebreak, too.
Does it feel, though, that the Texans are kind of backing in
yes.
based on the way the season was expected to go?
Absolutely.
They need to finish this one strong for sure. Like, they need to finish it strong so that they can tell themselves that they're good enough. Offensive line's been a problem, but their defense hasn't been beautiful either.
There's no other AFC division they'd be in first place of.
Oh, my
gosh. It's going to be tough for them to finish strong.
Yeah, it is. You see the end of their schedule. They got the Dolphins, the Chiefs, the Ravens, and then the Titans. And the Titans defensively give them fits.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
So if they do finish strong, if they win three of their last four, you would probably feel better about them.
They got some momentum going in.
Most likely, they're going to host a playoff game. They're not going to get in as a wild card. So they host a playoff game. And if they had to play the Ravens, like, you'd have that matchup right before the season ended.
That's playoff vibe in the season for sure.
Well, let me ask you one more scheduling question, as long as y'all are kind of looking at it. NFL overreaction or reality, the Vikings are a bigger threat to the Lions than the Eagles are in terms of getting the number one seed. It just feels like the Eagles have been playing really good football, and I know Sam Darnold has turned it back up in the last month or so. So I'm just throwing it out there, the idea that the Vikings are a bigger threat for the number one seed than the Eagles.
Well, that is the last game of their schedule, too, for Detroit.
Ooh, that could be a big game.
Yeah, I mean, the Vikings have three division opponents to finish out their four games.
They still have the Packers again?
They got the Packers. They have the
That's
Bears
tough.
Again on Monday
Not
night.
Tough.
And, you know, the Bears, their quarterback's asking how to lose right now. So I think
True.
There's a little conversation
How to cope
there.
With losing.
The Seahawks, I don't know what to think of them. But, yeah, man, this is a tough stretch here. Or it seems like a good stretch for them, because those are all winnable games for the Vikings. So setting up against the Lions, yeah, I think they're the ones hunting them down right now.
Maybe so.
Okay.
I know that the Eagles to finish the year home against the Cowboys and the Giants. So if you look at that and you just say those are easy wins.
Yes.
Like on a piece, those are, they're going to be favored by at least 8 against the Cowboys, and I'd say at least 10 against the Giants, and I could be low on the on the line. So they got two easy wins. They play at home against the Steelers this week, and they play at Washington.
Okay. So that Washington game.
Yeah, and the Steelers are a very good team.
They are.
So let's just say they go 1-1 and then they win out. So that gives them 3 losses. So the Vikings
would have to be perfect down the stretch. Yeah,
they
I
only
gotcha.
Have one road game the rest of the year against a team, Washington, that has started to struggle.
NFL overreaction or reality, this one's sad. DeMarvion Overshown will not play in 2025.
No, I don't think he will.
I don't think that's an overreaction by any means.
Yeah.
Just because the nature of the injury itself. That's a lot of CLs.
A terrible trio.
That's a lot of CLs to replace.
That's true.
Let me ask you this. Let's just say they are 5-7, and he's getting close to being healthy where you could open up that window thing.
I don't think I want him to play.
At that point.
Like, you go, we can give him another 5 or 6 months where he doesn't have to be on a football field competing at, you know, you can strengthen it even more.
Yeah.
And even if, Mike, even if you're doing well late in the season and going to the playoffs, I'm a little concerned about that because at that point he's missed so much time. We're not, how do we integrate him into this thing?
Yeah.
You know, how does that fit?
Now,
how scared are you? I'll ask this question
really
back.
Really scared.
How scared are you that he really never plays football
I'm
again?
Actually really scared because here's my concern. I've got a couple of different levels of concern on this. First of all, that he's just like not ever able to be himself again. But my other concern is this, Mike. Let's say he doesn't play next year. Well, 2026 is going to be his fourth year, a.k.a. the end of his rookie contract. If he starts to look amazing again, is he going to want all the money and we're going to find
Jalen
ourselves
Smith deal?
Yes, right back in this situation again?
Or he doesn't play for 2 years and the Cowboys give him a 4-year, $52 million contract.
Can't rule it out. Now, Mike, you had brought this up, and I know last night's game was ugly, 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 but NFL overreaction or reality, the Rams can still make and make some noise in the playoffs.
Rams can go to the Super Bowl.
Wow. I like it. You wouldn't feel that. Would you feel that way in the AFC? Probably
nope.
Not. Okay.
Nope.
Because the AFC is or the NFC is, that's why they can.
I think that the Rams got off to a horrible start this year. They had the wide receiver injuries with Kupp and Puka. They are healthy as far as I can tell. Like, maybe they're missing a guy or two I'm just forgetting about. But if you look at the way that they've played after they started off the season 1-4, and now they are 8-6.
Uh-huh.
I just think they're one of those teams. They get the Jets win. Cardinals at home most likely win. And then against Seattle at home to finish the year. I think they have a great chance to end up winning that division. And I think that they are a very scary team because I know the 49ers offensively are not very good this year. Inconsistent, to be nice. But now their defense showed up on Thursday night and only held the team to 6. And then they went to Buffalo and they scored, what was it, 44?
44.
Yeah, like, they have a lot of things going for them. Are they a perfect team? Are they a great team? I don't know. Like, that might be too high of a bar. But I think that they could run a nice stretch here in the playoffs and win 2 or 3 games.
I showed you the numbers the other day on Matt Stafford when he has all 3 of those guys healthy and Williams and his 2 receivers. I think it's 11-5 with like 4,100 yards. The numbers are insane. So as long as they stay healthy, that's a good thing for them for sure.
NFL overreaction or reality, you would rather have Ja'Marr Chase on your football team than CeeDee Lamb. Now, I went out of my way specifically not to say the Cowboys. This is just a vague general football team.
Okay. Look, man, Ja'Marr Chase is insanely good.
He is.
His quarterback and him have been together for a long time. I have no clue how he is whenever he doesn't have Joe Burrow.
That's a really interesting point.
With him. And CeeDee Lamb, on the other hand, let's throw Kyler Murray out there with him and see how they do together. You know?
Sure.
But I would take either one of those guys. There's
you
no
had to only pick one.
There's no way to really do that. I'll take CeeDee Lamb.
Okay.
I think the numbers of catches that he has right now, his career wise, they're just saying you're our part of our running game. You're the lead back for us. We're going to give you every touch we possibly can. I think you can do it with Chase. I think you can do that with Justin Jefferson too. Great trio of receivers to have in the league, but I'd take CeeDee Lamb.
I would lean towards Jamar Chase, but I do think there's a four-pack of guys that you have the best wide receivers in the game. Not in any order, but I'll try to put them in my order. I would go with Justin Jefferson,
yep.
Jamar Chase,
yep.
Tyreek Hill, CeeDee Lamb.
How far is, just as a bonus, I know he got hurt not that long ago, how far is Puka Nacua from getting in that group? Because I know he does a different kind of thing, yeah. But man, does he just find the ball.
Did you see that catch he made last night? David Tyree kind of catch where he caught it on the linebacker's helmet. Like, that's impressive, the strength that he had there. I think because I didn't know enough about him coming out.
Okay,
I'm kind of I don't really know.
Okay,
man, the work that he's done with McVay has been very special.
Overreaction or reality? This one's tough. I really like this guy. I hope he succeeds. You've seen enough, and Kyler Murray is not a true franchise quarterback. Not to say he's not good.
What more do you have to invest into it to change? Because you've changed coaches, you've changed players around him.
High wide receiver pick.
You gave him Marvin Harrison Jr. The offense has been fine. It's been fine, but you expected more whenever you drafted him where you drafted him. Obviously, injury's been was a big concern for him too. But at this point, I'm just like, he is a quarterback in the NFL, and he does some special things. But I'm not pinning any hopes on him.
I think that's kind of where I am. I like Kyler Murray a lot, but I think you've just seen enough now, because they didn't continue to take off this season. I think you've seen enough where you're like, oh, he's good, but
yeah,
that's
they have
it.
So much work they still have to do in Arizona.
Let me
too.
Ask you this. If you're the New York Jets,
I'd trade for him.
Yeah, like, would you trade your third round pick?
I would.
I think the Cardinals at this point might go, screw it, let's try something different.
Yeah, and see, if I'm the Cardinals, I don't think there's any way I would take that low of compensation, which is a tough dynamic of, I don't think you're a franchise quarterback. I do think another team could, like, be pushed over with you as opposed to the awful quarterback play they've had.
Yeah, I bet there's a lot of teams that would take Kyler Murray and think they might be able to win it all, but probably realistically go, at least he gives us a chance to make the playoffs.
Okay, now, this is another quarterback who maybe you think fits in this category, maybe you don't. NFL overreaction or reality, you would give Sam Darnold a long-term deal.
No. If I'm the Vikings?
Let's say you're another team.
No.
No.
Okay.
He has Justin Jefferson.
He does.
He has Hockenson. He's got a pretty good running game, and he's got a coach that he has aligned perfectly with. And the way that they call the game, they understand what Sam Darnold does well and what he doesn't do well. I can't believe that another coach, that my coach, is going to be the one that can get the hands on him and make him good.
Can I ask one more follow-up question then? You're the Vikings. 4 for $120 million. So $30 million a year.
You know, it's funny, as I was thinking, if he wants to do 3 for $60 million.
Okay.
But you just went to another year and added 10. I think you're okay with him there, because I have to realize that obviously now the market is $60 million.
Yeah.
And I mean, I hate saying this. It is what it is. I think there's going to be a dozen agents to go, my guy's better than Dak Prescott.
Yeah, probably so.
And so now it's going to probably start creeping over 60 because of the person who got 60.
I agree.
So I'm okay with 34 for 120, and he's a guy that I cannot build a great team around if I start getting into the $50 million range or close to. But at $30 million, I could probably keep a lot of my guys around and have more talent around my guy, which he has to have. He cannot carry a team.
You marry him with Justin Jefferson for that entirety of his contract, which if Justin Jefferson loves that, then go for it. You do have J.J. McCarthy, though.
I know. That's an interesting wrinkle in all of this.
High draft pick on him, so that's where that conversation I would have to really say, all right, do I believe that my head coach is good enough to get this guy who should have been a rookie off the ground?
Do you think you could recoup a first? Let's just say you go with, he wants to accept a four-year deal for $120 million.
Yes, I do.
Do you think you get a first-round pick in this draft?
Yes, I do.
Okay, then I might do that, because now I'm getting that first-round pick back, so now I have two first-round picks this year to help out my Sam Darnold-led team for the next 4 years.
I got one more for you, and I think this is reality. NFL overreaction or reality? The Chiefs locked up home field advantage when the Bills lost to the Rams.
Reality.
Yeah, I think that's a reality there, because they already had the loss against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And I just don't see, I mean, we kind of looked a little bit at the schedule there. I just don't see the Chiefs really faltering that much down the stretch here based on what they've already done.
Does it have to lose two more
to
lose the tiebreaker?
Yeah, so if you're the Bills right now, you're still trying. You're still putting the effort out there, but you kind of know where you are in this whole thing.
Not the easiest schedule, not the hardest schedule. At Browns, home against the Texans, at Steelers, at Broncos for the Kansas City Chiefs.
I mean, and then you look at the Bills, they have the Lions this weekend.
Yeah.
So, like,
good luck.
Yeah, straight up. This is a really top-heavy, great slate of games for the NFL this weekend. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next is we're live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Bedford. We will talk with the newest Texas Ranger, Jake Berger, and unfortunately, the people have demanded it. I think we're going to throw in Mike Likes It as well.
I guess
no tease necessary.
Just go to break.
Fake, standing deep middle, intercepted! Hooker at the 17-yard line. There was not a black shirt around him.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Bedford. 1933 Airport Freeway, and in about 20 minutes, we'll talk with the newest Texas Ranger, Jake Berger. And I know normally on today we would do Cowboys win because, Cowboys lose because, but the people have spoken and I want to support their decision even if I hate it. And right now it's time for Mike Likes It.
Famous.
Oh, he is currently bowing.
You guys are in public.
Chris, are we supposed to take a load off here, Chris?
Yeah!
Woo! Woo! All right, so I want to start this off this way. I got a call from my son during our last segment, and that makes me nervous. I don't know about
yes.
you guys, but when your kids are in school and they give you a call, you're like, are they sick? Did they get in trouble? He does drive to school now. I'm like, did somehow you get off campus and get into a wreck, or what's going on? But the great news is he called me, and I just asked him if everything was okay, texted him. He said, I made varsity baseball.
So
Jake Bassick, as a sophomore, made varsity baseball.
That is awesome.
So, you know, watch out, Preston Wood Christian. He's always talking about how great Preston Wood
Christian is.
They are great. They're in their same kind of – but I'm like, hey – I don't care. I was on a team that was awesome, too, and we didn't win state. So that's my first one. My second one is this, guys and girls here, is does it seem like when financial things go wrong, there's like a pile up of things? You're like, how is it? Why can't they be spread out a little bit more in life than when they just kind of hit you all at one time? And we have a great Tolo who listens a lot. Corey recommended him to me. It's Michael Talbot. Am I saying
his last name
right?
Oh, my God. He's the best. The plumber?
Great plumber. But we have a major issue at our house with hot water, and he did a whole bunch of great things, but he tested it out. We do have lead in our water.
Oh, no.
We do have super hard water.
Nice.
Our tankless water heater is getting so much, I'll say, debris into it that's causing a whole bunch of issues and having to flush it out. And so I will just say it's going to cost thousands of dollars to fix, which you have to do.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do. So then my other son, Cal.
So you can get the lead out, you know what I mean?
I gotcha.
Yeah.
He comes home from school.
Take a lead off.
Yeah. And now we're like, so we've been drinking lead water. Sweet.
That feels not great.
When I was in Rome, they said the theory is, or a theory is, they had the great water that was running into Rome. They don't have water in Rome, but they had to get it there back in right around Jesus's time, right?
Uh-huh.
So they built these unbelievable water ducts, is what I'll call them.
Aqueducts.
Aqueducts, thank you.
Ooh.
And they would bring water in from lakes that were 30 miles away, and there was no electricity. It just, because of gravity, would pull it in. So everybody was getting fresh, clean water in Rome. But the richest of the richest people, the emperors and the leaders, they put in special pipes in their kingdom. And theirs had special pipes to make sure that they were getting the best water, and they were lead pipes. And they were like, over time, they were drinking lead water, and they thought over time, their emperors kept making horribly bad decisions. And they're like, was it because they were slowly poisoning themselves
right.
with lead in their water? So I found out in South Dallas, what do you know? We got lead in our water.
Heck yeah, y'all.
Cheer for that. That's not a good thing.
It's the water of emperors. That's what he just told us.
Yeah. Right, well, what happened to them? They all got killed because people hated them.
They got their groove.
That's a cartoon. That is a good one.
Dallas, remember when we talked about this? Like, hey, it's unknown if you have lead in your water. No, it's known now. I had a real plumber come over, and I really do have lead in our water.
I'm sorry.
So he has to put in a system to make sure that the filtration system makes sure that that is very minimal, that that gets through the system and other things like that. But then my son gets home from school, and we bought him a brand new Apple computer. And I feel like if you're not a parent, or if you're a parent of, let's say, an elementary school kid, when they get to high school now, or at least, I don't know, maybe it's different for Brandon, but for Mary Grace and Jake and Cal, they have to have a computer at school, their own personal computer. So we buy them an Apple because whether you like them or not, I do feel like they last longer than when I've had Dells or other computers. Like, I've had this computer since 2018. It's done me pretty darn well. I haven't had really any issue with it. There's small issues, but very little. But it still runs well. His, a third of the screen or a fourth of the screen goes black.
Mm. Oh, no.
So we take it up to Apple, and they're like, oh, it's fixable for $500.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, should we just get him a new one?
Yeah, because what does it run? Like
$1,000, okay. I think. I don't know. But I'm thinking an Apple computer is
about 15, yeah. Okay. 12, 15, something like that.
Inflation.
$9.99 for the smaller ones.
I don't know if that's all inflation right there, but okay.
But because my wife watched that documentary on Netflix about Buy More, she's like, I don't want to just throw away a computer.
Oh, yeah, so she wants to get it fixed?
Yeah, so she wants to get it fixed for $500, and I'm like, all right. I'm just hoping that when you fix it, you fix it. Because a lot of times
it didn't cause a new problem.
It feels like when you open up computers and you start doing that, my opinion, this is probably totally wrong, but my opinion is, then you're going to have more issues because something's wrong with the computer.
Don't you think people feel the same way about cars? It's like once you open up and fix one thing, then people are like, what's going to happen now?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I would say just in my history working in IT, once you fix the component, you're good. So once you make sure you got the right thing, it depends on what it is, but most of the time, yes.
Isn't that the scary thing about buying a used car? If you see if it's been in a wreck, and it has been, and you're just like, how bad was the wreck? What did you guys do to kind of fix it up so it's workable, but not, you know.
When we were looking for a car for Avery, I saw a guy, and I said, I want to see the Carfax on it. I looked at the Carfax on it, and I was like,
did a little puppet pop up?
No, a little puppet did not pop up. No little fox or anything. But whenever I looked at it, it said it was a minor accident. And I was like, okay. And so as I popped the hood and started looking, Mike, I saw the frame of the car was welded together.
Oh,
and I was like, what happened here? And he goes, yeah, we had to weld that. And I was like, that's not a minor accident. Like, that whole front side was shifted at some points where it ripped it off. So, yeah, man, you always got to do your homework even deeper.
There's child abduction in Tyler. I don't know if you heard that. There's an audible, oh, my goodness. So just if you're in Tyler, be on the lookout. You probably got the same notice as the rest of us.
All right. We're enjoying taking a load off here.
Take a load off.
And I would just like to shout out our Tolos. And Jessica just came in here. I think she just works close to here, so she had to take off. But maybe she's in the car. But she couldn't believe that we were in Bedford, and she came in here and had to take a picture with us. So
here we are.
That was awesome of Jessica. Dan brought us cronuts again.
Mm. Those are amazing.
We have cigars that were brought to us.
Yeah, we got some cigars.
We have Vienna sausages with Ritz crackers that were brought to us.
So a whole variation of
Corey,
B35 or something like that.
You've had coffee brought to you. And now when we go to taking a load off, I love taking a load off in the morning with a cup of coffee.
Okay. That usually is. It's kind of a drink that predicts itself, right? It lets you
what
know
does
what,
that mean?
It lets you know what the outcome's going to be. It goes in brown and then
What?
You have
it probably
to go,
comes out white or yellow because it's pee.
But you also, it makes you go take a load off.
It does. So. Caffeine gets you going.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's a diuretic, Kevin. I don't know. Have you ever heard that before? That you drink
yeah,
coffee?
Yeah, didn't L. Ron Hubbard write that book? That's Dianetics. I'm sorry. My mistake. Thank you to the one person
yeah,
in here
one person.
Who thought that was funny as hell. That guy was like, that's the funniest thing I've heard all day. Everyone else is stupid.
They You're read stupid. Dianetics, yeah. That's for sure.
All right.
This cup of coffee that you had. Is it something like better than normal, or is it just like?
Oh, that's wonderful coffee. It is.
Where's it from?
It's from HEB.
Oh, wow, it's amazing. HEB makes great products by the butt.
Uh huh.
But the butt won't come and. But guess what I found about Howard E. Butt?
What's that?
Oh, this is actually a really interesting story.
By the way, in case you're curious, that's why it's HEB. Howard E.
It's not Hearst, Euless, Bedford?
No, because they don't even have one here yet. I know they're building one, but.
My mommy texted me yesterday.
Oh, my God. Is this related to what you just said?
Yes.
Okay.
Here's what I'll say mom. I was just teasing by saying
when
that.
Was the last time I said mommy?
When do you change from mommy to mom?
4, 5, 8?
So when,
I don't know.
So I don't know. If Noah says mommy in kindergarten, are you going to be like, no?
Probably not.
You call her mom or you get out of my house.
You call her mom or Jess.
I will probably will not.
Or
I probably will
dad's
not.
Lover.
Yeah, dad's lover.
I definitely will not do that.
Do you remember when I tried to get your son to tell your wife, say, mom, you look sexy today?
Yes, and he did not want to do that.
That was a lot, as he shouldn't. That was a real thing that happened. By the way, for people that ask, like, hey, is Mike doing a bit? This happened off air. He tried to convince one of Corey's kids.
Carter, right? That's right. Carter got mad at me, too.
He did. Like, he said something really.
Up.
Yeah, he said you were going to die.
Yeah. Okay, so this is what my mom texted me yesterday about Mr. Howard Butt of HEB.
Uh-huh.
Your dad went to school with Howard. He was a star tennis player at Trinity. National championship tennis team. Not
really?
Trinity here. Trinity in San Antonio.
Wow. That's a college, Kevin.
Yes,
I do believe.
Thank
yeah.
you.
So I have an in with HEB.
Yeah, and he was a star tennis player, dude.
Okay, did you just get your dad to be like, hey, can you just reach out and be like, hey, what's the deal?
Reach out to the
Why Mr. can't we get an HEB out here?
Yeah, get an HEB in your neighborhood. You got a hookup.
I know. Do you think that Mr. Butt has heard the things I've said? And do you think that Mr. Butt is like, I know that guy, but doesn't know it's the son?
I think he also feels that the way you continually say Mr. Butt is to make fun of him.
That's his last name.
Okay, but you don't
Mr.
call
Hagelin.
That person. You don't you never call me that, and you certainly don't call me that in succession.
Mm. He's older than me,
mm-hmm.
And we don't know each other, so I'm being respectful by saying Mr.
Okay,
in his last name.
But if you were having a conversation, you wouldn't be like, Mr. Majors, question. You'd answer, and I go, Mr. Majors, another question. You just continue
that's a good question.
Okay, see, Seth Rollins knows.
You could call him Sir. You could just say Sir Butt, you know, instead Sir Butt. What are your thoughts on this? You can say Sir Butt instead. Is that okay with you, Kevin, or does that cross another line?
Does my opinion really matter in
mm-hmm.
this?
Yeah, especially when we're taking a load off, dude.
Is that
all
what
right.
we're doing? Because this is stressing me out.
We are in Bedford at Buffalo Wild Wings. There might be a few tables open right now. It's been an awesome crowd here. And I haven't got to this story all week, and I know I'm going to give it a short amount of time because in about 3 to 5 minutes we will have new Texas Ranger Jake Berger on is... The documentary, I believe it's on Amazon Prime, and I saw it last week. I will recommend it, even though I think their timeline gets a little bit, let's say, Von Erich's The Movie.
Okay.
With Dirk Nowitzki. It is called, it's Game 7s. There's 5 different documentaries of 5 different Game 7s. The first one is like 03, the Yankees beating the Boston Red Sox in Game 7 when Aaron Boone hit the home run. I have not seen any of the others. There was a New York Rangers.
Because it looked interesting, yeah.
There's a New York Rangers one for hockey, which I honestly don't know what year that was, that there was some big Game 7 for them. But the third one is the Dallas Mavericks beating the San Antonio Spurs in 2006 in the Western Conference semifinals. And it does go through it pretty well. It talks about Jason Terry hitting Michael Finley when Finley went to the Spurs in the Nads in Game 5. And him getting suspended for Game 6, because a lot of people in that documentary said, if Jason Terry late in game five doesn't take the nad shot to Michael Finley, then you're probably not going to have game seven, as it was a contested low-scoring game six, but without Jason Terry, the Mavs really struggled to score.
Yeah.
Well, it goes into Dirk Nowitzki and how nobody trusted European players.
Yes.
Nobody thought that they could lead a team. And I thought to myself, I get it. And they were kind of saying, after this game, everybody believed. But they were showing people like Pau Gasol, Darko Milicic. They were already drafted top five in the NBA before this game. So I felt like they were showing guys, I'm like, they're already in the NBA. They were already top five picks.
Teams. Do you think it was more fans, not necessarily front offices, that felt that way?
They were. I agree, yes, but they were kind of relating it to both.
Okay.
And then I'll say this. In the end, where they're like, now all these teams could trust possibly a European to lead their franchise. No, they couldn't. You guys remember this. And by the way, you got Berger coming up. But how many times did we have to go over that Dirk is great until he won the championship? Nobody believed it. And that's Mike likes it. And now Jake Berger time.
Right now, the newest addition to the Texas Rangers. It is, in fact, Jake Berger. Good afternoon, sir.
How we doing?
We're doing very well. Now, we always like to get some background on the newest players that we have. Are you by chance a big Chicago Blackhawks fan?
I supported them for a while. It's been kind of tough over the last couple of years, but, you know, I don't want to make myself seem like a bandwagoner, but, I love Jonathan Toews, and he was my favorite player growing up and loved watching him, so... just kind of fell in love with the Hawks.
And then I know in your previous, with one of your previous teams, the White Sox alternate training site was in Schaumburg. I have a lot of family that live in Schaumburg. How cool is that mall in Schaumburg for people who don't know?
Yes, Schaumburg's sweet. That was like an awesome setup for an alternate site. The Boomer Stadium there was sweet. And, I have fond memories of my time in Schaumburg.
So when it comes to Jake getting traded to the Texas Rangers, can you talk about your initial reaction when, whether it was your agent or Miami or the Rangers who called you up?
Yeah, it was kind of funny. Me and my wife and I fell asleep around 9:45, and our 2-year-old actually woke up having a bad dream. So. We both woke up and, got the call that I'd been traded. And my wife was tending to Brooks, our son. And I was just waiting for her to come out of the room because I was, like, super fired up. And I kind of scared the living crap out of her. But when I told her, we were both excited and, super, super pumped to be joining such an awesome organization. And, Dallas is just such an awesome city. We live in Nashville, so... You know, pretty similar, obviously, but it was definitely an exciting feeling.
Are you neighbors with Boach? He's in the Nashville area too.
Yeah, we actually live somewhat close,
really?
I'm gonna grab some lunch with him over the next few days, and talk to the new skipper.
He's a Weller guy. Just putting that out there for you right now. So if you want to get on his good side, hey, what's your relationship like with Skip Schumacher? He comes here to Texas to kind of be a consultant with the team. What's your relationship with him like?
Yeah, he was awesome. You know, I loved playing for him in Miami, and him and I have a really good relationship. He's helped me so many ways, not just on the field but off the field, and. Just kind of taught me how to go about things, and he's definitely a great dude and a hard worker, and I'm excited that we're in the same organization.
Do you think he was a voice in you arriving in Texas then?
I don't want to speculate, but I definitely think he definitely pushed it in the right direction, and he's awesome, and Pipe obviously was my bench coach as well. So, a lot of guys I worked with over the last 2 years.
Nice. You use a lot of the same words that Schumacher used to describe you.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, hey, he's a winning ball player. He hits the ball as hard as anyone in the
league.
He's
a cage rat.
Yeah, yeah. I, So what does it mean to hear these people that you have that admiration for, they have the same admiration right back at you?
Yeah, it's an honor. And, you know, I grew up in St. Louis, so I watched Skip play all the time in my youth days. And, you know, always loved how he played the game and, you know, tried to model that work ethic and, you know, playing the game hard, playing the game the right way after him. And so, you know, it's definitely an honor to hear those words from him.
Jake, when you see a fastball coming right down the middle, what is going through your head?
Salivation.
Yeah, licking my lips. Yeah, that's, you know, I think that probably started in college at Missouri State, you know, just trying to be on the fastball and, you know, never getting off of it. So, you know, if I see one down the middle, it's a great day. And, you know, just don't be late, be on time. You know, sometimes it gets you in trouble swinging at the slider in the dirt that looks like one because you're willing it to be a fastball down the middle. But, you know, it's part of it.
Can you tell us the difference? And you can change the speeds if you want, but let's say a 94-mile-an-hour fastball to a 98-mile-an-hour fastball. What's the difference from a hitter's perspective?
I think if you start your move on time and you're convicted in your approach, I don't know if there's necessarily that big of a difference. You know, I think the time that those speeds come into play is when you're in between or, you know, not fully convicted and what you're trying to do or you're starting late. That's kind of what I've found with myself. You know, I can only speak for myself and that situation in the box. But, you know, more times than not, if you're calm and collected, you know, we see enough velo that, you know, 5 miles an hour might not make the difference.
Now, kind of a similar vein of question, how often can you tell whether it's you hear the sound, you feel the contact, or you just know, like, hey, this is a home run versus a double versus a, hey, this is going to end up being a lengthy single? Like, how often can you tell that quickly off a point of contact?
I would say majority of my home runs, I know, you know, obviously you have a few wall scrapers in there that you're just, you know, willing it to get over the fence. Mm-hmm. But... you know, more times than not, you feel it. And, you know, for me, it's, I can kind of tell with how it looks off the bat, and feels off the bat, what the outcome's going to be. You know, for me, I'm coming out of the box as hard as I can, no matter what. You know, I don't really pimp home runs or anything like that. You know, I'm thinking that extra base, you know, if I can get a triple next to my name every year, I'm going to be happy. So I'm motoring out of the box, but more times than not, you kind of feel it.
Now, with that in mind, and also with in mind, it's a family show. Is there anything that you say in your mind while you're running out of the box to get that one over the wall? Like, do you have a go-to where you're like, come on, come on, come on? Or are you like, come on, you stupid piece of, get over the wall?
No, it's more like go, 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 go. Like, that's probably the main thing. You know, and then I don't want to get caught up with watching it because then, you know, my route to first base is going to be all jacked up and, you know, really inefficient. So, but yeah, it's more just go, 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 go. And when you see it go over, I mean, that's the best feeling in the world.
New Ranger and probably the our new favorite Ranger too. On top of that,
Jake Berger
joining us here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Immediately when we saw the trade, we all started going to watch highlights to go see what you were all about and see what your best stuff is. The thing that I noticed the most was you have a variety of different facial hairs throughout your seasons. Do you choose one at the beginning of the year and say I'm sticking with the mustache all year, or do you say, you know what, I'm switching it up throughout the season?
I switched it up throughout the season, depending on how many 0-for-4s, you know, I'm dealing with. But for me, you know, my wife loves the mustache look. So, like, that's got to be the staple. You know, that's the bread and butter there. But, you know, if I'm feeling good and I'm letting it grow, it'll get to kind of that bigger beard. And, you know, if I'm not seeing the ball, if the ball's looking like a marble, I'll shave it all off and, you know, try and get some more aerodynamics with my speed, maybe beat out a couple infield knocks.
So baseball is all about the numbers, the statistics. Have you ever put together a comprehensive facial hair database to determine what your numbers do comparatively?
No, I have thought about writing down, you know, the algorithm with that. You know, I don't know if it's just it doesn't feel like the shaving it completely off and having kind of the baby face has worked at all. You know, I think it's more just a change of pace. But, yeah, I want to say that the majority of my home runs have come with my beard, and the majority of when I'm hitting well for average come with the mustache.
Okay. Oh. So, Kevin, I think that's as the baseball show of record in DFW, we will keep track of that for him this year. That's what, no, Jake, we're going to keep track of it. We'll monitor the situation and let you know how things are going.
That would be great. Yeah, then I have a basis on, you know, why I'm doing certain things.
We get a DM from your wife, and she's like, hey, tell him to stop doing that with his facial hair, all right? I don't like it.
Yeah, just keep the mustache.
So, Jake, when you got up to the big leagues, the White Sox were a very good team. And then, obviously, that changed with the White Sox last year. The Marlins, you know, didn't have a great season. Neither did the Rangers last year either. But you are going to a team that has aspirations of getting back to the playoffs, of trying to get back to the World Series like they did in 2023. I'm sure you're working very hard before the trade. But how much more motivation is there knowing that you're coming to a team that feels like they can win 90 or more games, that feels like if they get back to the playoffs, they can make another run?
Yeah, yeah, that's the biggest thing. You know, when I heard the news, that I immediately went to is, you know, doing everything I can personally to help the team win as many games as we can and make the furthest push that we can in the postseason. And ultimate goal is to win the World Series. And, you know, that starts, you know, now. You know, for me, I feel like when I got traded at the trade deadline from Chicago to Miami to help with that postseason push, you know, that was the most fun baseball I've played. And, you know, it's not really a me mentality. It's a team mentality. And, you know, when you're in that race, it's you get guys picking you up throughout the lineup. You don't feel like the weight of the world's on your shoulders. And, you know, it's just playing good team baseball. And that's what I'm about. And that's when I have the most fun. So I'm really looking forward to it and really fired up.
And that kind of answers one part of my question. I was going to be, how easy is it to jump into the winning culture? But on the flip side, I am curious, how difficult is it to, like, not get sucked into, hey, we've got a losing culture here? Whether it's a team has lost, you know, had a losing record 2 years in a row or whatever the case might be, how difficult is it to, like, not fall into that trap?
Yeah, I mean, that's always the thing is, you know, about the culture, and that's on the foundation that's built. And, you know, this organization has a great baseline, and, you know, obviously won the World Series. And, you know, like, you know, you're built on the foundation, and you got winners in that clubhouse. And that's what I'm really excited about is, you know, getting to learn from all these guys that, you know, did win a World Series and, you know, getting to work with them. So that's what I'm mainly fired up about is getting into that culture and getting into that clubhouse and, you know, learning as much as I can.
Jake, I'm sorry if I'm going to tire you with burger questions, but here is in Texas here, we've had the boomstick at the ballpark for a long time, and that was named somewhat after Nelly Cruz.
Yes.
And so, obviously, your last name means that you could have something named after you at the ballpark. If you were to create the perfect burger, what would be the perfect burger?
So, in college, there was a burger place right next to campus that named a mac and cheese burger after me.
Ooh.
And they asked me the same question. Incidentally, over the last probably 2 years, I've kind of switched to a little more of like a Texas style burger, you know, with barbecue sauce on it.
Yes.
You know, I might be wrong with thinking that it is a Texas style burger, but, you know, a little caramelized onion on it, you know, I get some good barbecue sauce on it. And that's kind of what I've made for the family on burger nights in the off season. So
okay.
It'd probably be something along the lines of that.
Now, our show here has decided donuts are done.
Yeah.
We only eat cronuts now.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had a cronut?
I have not.
Do you know what a cronut is or have an idea of what a cronut is?
I have no idea.
It is a croissant that they make into a donut. And I'm telling you, Jake, we're going to bring you one. We brought Bochy one last year.
He goes, loved it.
What are these? And I brought him a cronut. And he was like, yes, they do. They are superior to the donut.
That sounds unbelievable. I mean, I don't know why I'm hearing about this for the first time right now.
Well, see, we're the baseball show of record, but also when you meet us, the food show of record.
Yep,
so
we
can help out with both of those things. Man, I'm glad you're here. We're all lifelong Rangers fans.
Yep.
I don't know if you can hear the crowd in the background. They're all glad you're here, too. So thank you very much for the time, good sir.
Yeah, thank you. I'm fired up to get down to Arizona and get it going.
See you at spring training, man. Yeah. Go get Rangers.
We'll bring them cronuts.
Yes, yeah. We will. There you go.
Do they have them in Arizona?
We might have to
ship right some. Here.
Yeah, because if they don't, then you guys will start a pop-up business there.
That's a great idea.
Man, if we ever want to live in Italy, we have our – you know, it's like, what do you do in Italy?
You can just ship over these. You
got to make money.
Oh, hold on. Do we make them fresh or do we just order them?
We make them fresh.
Gotcha.
We're not shipping them. Do you know how long of a flight that is? I thought I was going to die coming back.
You can bake them, right?
We'll figure it out. I think you fry them,
okay.
Don't you?
Like, I'll let him take care of that.
It feels like you guys got a lot of work
I'm running the front of the house.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We are live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Bedford.
Mm-hmm.
1933 Airport Freeway. Coming up next, it's time for the C-Block starring Corey Majors.
Oh, my gosh. This college student went viral for this. Would you do it? Next on The Fan.